Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas, and pastor teacher of our small, humble, yet powerful congregation. As you know, we meet every Shabbat evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time at Northwest Bible Church. And we are in the Christian Life Center building, third floor, room 301. The church is located 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75231. Well, I decided to preempt our ongoing expository study of the book of Jeremiah. Number one, because I forgot to bring my notes. And number two, I think the invasion, the preemptive attack of Israel on Iran merits a brief teaching tonight. I say we won't be long, but you know how I can be. So we're going to talk about that. And let me just say from the outset that what Israel did to Iran is not a fulfillment of the Gog-Magog war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It doesn't even come close to it. So these sensationalists who misuse the field of Bible prophecy, if they're saying that to you, they are dead wrong. And there are several factors why this is in no way the battle of Gog and Magog. Now, there's some debate. Does this battle happen during the tribulation? Does it happen right before the tribulation? Well, the fact that they will be burying bodies for 7 years probably indicates it will be sometime at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. But again, we can't be dogmatic. But the seven-year burial of the bodies does nicely coincide with Daniel's 70 weeks of years, which is 7 years and the last of the 70th weeks of Daniel. So we're going to talk about the inevitable act Israel had to take against nuclear Iran. And they were very close, if not already. There are varying reports that they did indeed have a crude nuclear bomb. And Israeli intelligence said they had anywhere from 9 to 15 bombs that would have been ready to go within, some say, within weeks, even up to a month. So obviously things became a critical mass, no pun intended for you nuclear scientists. Things became a critical mass, and Israel felt that at this point in time they did have to do this. And the U.S., although this was a unilateral attack, trust me, President Trump and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, they, to some extent, were working with Israel. That way, when the attack went down, nobody can say that the global community did not give Iran ample time to dismantle their nuclear operations, join the international community, make peace, and prosper. But they didn't want to do that, because when you're ruled by a fanatical, extreme Islamic fundamentalism, you are not really rational at that point. But more on that in a minute. Anyway, we're glad you could be with us tonight. We are a ministry that certainly believes in the verse-by-verse teaching of God's word, with an emphasis, of course, on the Jewish roots of the faith. There's a reason why they call it the Judeo-Christian faith, because Christianity, biblical Christianity, sprung from biblical Judaism. May I say that biblical Christianity is the offspring of biblical Judaism. Edith Schaefer wrote a book called Christianity is Jewish, and I highly recommend that book. And she's right. Biblical Christianity is a fulfillment of Old Testament biblical Judaism. In fact, that is the main theme of the book of Hebrews. The new covenant fulfills the old covenant in which many of the laws and observances of biblical Judaism are codified. So there's simply that. So you can't divorce the Jewish mindset from even the New Testament, because the New Testament was written by all Jews. And I would even say Luke was probably written by a Hellenistic Jew. And there's a good article written by Tom McCall that you can go on our at Schofield website right here, info@schofieldinstitute.org. And I think click on the articles link and read Dr. McCall's article. Dr. McCall, by the way, discipled the Jewish believer Zola Levitt, of which this congregation was co-founded by, he and I. And so Christianity, the New Testament, is thoroughly Jewish. I've known several Jewish people who came to faith because when they read the New Testament, they said, this reads exactly like the Old Testament in that there's a lot of Hebraic nuances and sayings and so forth in the New Testament that certainly shows a Hebrew and Jewish mindset. And unfortunately, early on, the church divorced itself from its Jewish roots. The Council of Nicaea was a good council in some respects, bad in others. They prohibited the celebration of Passover. And Constantine ratified that, forbidding Christians. Why would you do that when the Lord's Supper came for Passover? When Passover, like all the other feasts of Israel, point to the Messiah, right? Anyway, so, but we're glad you're here with us tonight. I don't think that the military engagement between Israel and Iran will affect our gospel outreaches. I think this will be a mop-up operation that probably won't even last a month. Although, the truth to tell, this would be the perfect time to be in Israel, because in the vacuum of desperation and fear comes people instinctively welcome a message of hope. And the gospel is a message of hope, not blind hope, not wishful thinking, but hope built on historical evidence. Amen. The resurrection of Messiah Jesus not only fulfilled messianic prophecy, but it is a historical event verified by eyewitnesses. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15, he said, at this time, there's over 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection that are still alive. So this stuff wasn't made up. This is a the Christian faith, unlike all the other faiths, the Jewish faith as well. Those are the only two faiths that have solid historical fact reinforcing and standing behind them. So, and what did Peter say to his readers? We have not followed cleverly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses, there's that word again, eyewitnesses of his majesty. That word fable comes from the Greek word mythos, from whence we get the word myth from. So the Christian faith is not full of myths borrowed from pagan religions. That's an old liberal argument that has been long disproven, but rather it is a faith founded in fact, to quote the great late Dr. John Ward Montgomery's book, Faith Founded on Fact. It is a faith of facticity. And miracles are, in fact, occurrences that occur that happen in history when the sovereign, transcendent God intervenes. And the resurrection is the sign given to all generations that Jesus, that God confirmed who Jesus is. Jesus is God. And that was verified by his raising from the dead. Amen. So if you would like to learn more about our ministry and our gospel outreaches we conduct in Israel, we have our winter spring 2025 Search the Scriptures newsletter. You can go to our website at toddbaker.org and click on the newsletter link. If you would like to subscribe to our newsletter and get it mailed to you, then we'll email us your full name and your mailing address. If you want the color version, which is only available through email, then give us your full name and your email address and we'll send it right out to you. Folks, I don't need to tell you that we are supported by the generous donations from the members of the body of Christ. And we are now full-time, have been full-time for 13 months. And by the way, today is Friday the 13th, which is a good day. God created mathematics. He created numbers. And the number 13 is a good number. So let's just dispense with the superstitious nonsense. And so we have been doing this ministry now full-time by faith, again, going on 13 months. And I want to thank those of you who support us and make this possible. And rest assured, we will not be trying to raise money to buy a Learjet, Rolexes, mansions like these false teachers of the prosperity gospel are doing. And I will name names if you want me to. Just as Paul named the names of false teachers, and John did in 3 John, right? Diotrephes, who would come into the congregation and dominate because he loved to have the preeminence. Beware of those in the church that want all the attention centered on themselves for a variety of reasons. So if you would like to support us, we are one of the only few ministries within the body of Messiah that takes Romans 1:16 seriously. And you guys know that we don't go to Israel when it's safe and comfortable and cozy. We have gone during the Second Intifada, very dangerous time. We had close calls with terrorists hitting places. Either we had just been there or we visited after they were hit a day or so later. But I remember on one trip, we were in a restaurant in, it was off Jaffa Street. And one of the waiter said, hey, he was shocked that we would come during the Intifada because Israel was being hit by terrorists almost every day. The terrorists blowing up the buses or going into restaurants. So he goes, hey, he was just amazed that we would come there and not succumb to fear like all the other Christian pilgrims do. They scatter from Israel like rats leaving a sinking ship because they talk more about faith, but they act in fear. We don't. So they said to us, you guys are sitting in the very booth where that terrorist detonated himself. So we looked at him and we said, oh, well, there is no fear where the God of Israel is near. Let's tell you, we want to tell you what the God of Israel did through his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we witnessed to him even through that. We we've done 3 outreaches during this seven front war Israel is fighting against. We've already conducted 3 outreaches. And we will be going back in September and December. I mentioned last week, we now have added a 3rd outreach, we will be going back, and I think by then this whole situation with Iran will be cleared up, although all flights in and out of Israel have been canceled, but this, I don't think, will affect our outreaches in any way, amen? And if you would like to support us, if you love the Jewish people, then get the gospel to them. Talk is cheap. James says, show me your faith by your actions. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian, but let your fruits show it. And so if you love the Jewish people, then take the gospel to them. Share the gospel with your Jewish neighbor. Or support ministries like ours that have been doing this now for 24 years. So we are not greenhorns. We're not fly-by-night folks. We have stayed the course now for decades, and we will continue to do this until death, or God forbid, we're physically incapacitated, or the rapture happens. We will continue taking this gospel to the Jewish people because we have an obligation. We are indebted to them, and it's out of love for our Messiah, our Lord, and for his people that we do this. That's the only reason, and in obedience to his word. We're not trying to be TV stars. We're not trying to, make a fortune off being an indolent religious person. We believe that God wants his church to go to the Jew first, just as he commands in the Word of God. Matthew chapters 10 and 15, Romans 1:16, Acts 8 through 28. All right, so again, if you would like to support us, click on that donate link that I provided there below the title of tonight's message. We'll take you to our secure encrypted donate page where you can make a donation, and we really do appreciate that. Folks, Israel has been planning on attacking the incorrigible and unrepentant evil regime of Iran for 8 years now. Operation Rising Lion, I believe based upon a verse in the book of Numbers, how Israel will rise like a lion and tear its prey apart until blood is shed. I think it's in the book of Numbers. But that's the name they got. They got it from the Torah about Israel rising up and defending itself. And they are not going to play the perennial victim as they did for almost 2,000 years, culminating in the worst anti-Semitic purge ever in history, or anti-Semitic attempt at purging the Jews in the Holocaust. From reliable intelligence reports from the IDF, from the Mossad and other intelligence agencies within the government and military of Iran, Iran was, or Iran, however you want to say it, they were well within a matter of weeks to a month in developing, and I've heard the number vary, 9 to 15 crude nuclear bombs. They were going to become fissible, F-I-S-S-I-B-L-E, meaning they would have the right enrichment process complete, and voila, we have a nuclear bomb. Now, there are some in the political conservative community and Israel, much of Israel, felt they had to do this to stave off annihilation. Well, let me tell you, they had to do it, of course, because they didn't want millions of Jews dying. No matter how you factor it out, God will not allow the nation of Israel to be annihilated. Not because I say so, but because the word of God promises that Israel will never cease to be a nation before the Lord. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 37, among other scripture passages. And we have promises in the prophets that at the end of days, the days we're living, the last days, Yakarit Hayamim, that once God regathers the Jewish people in the land again denotes the second diaspora, which occurred with the Roman dispersion in 70 AD, that when God brings them back from that second diaspora, they will never be removed or uprooted from the land again. So the Ayatollah Khomeini can, he can froth at the mouth. He can issue his satanic anti-Semitic decrees of death to Israel every day. But he fails to realize that he has brought the curse and divine judgment upon himself and his government, issued by the God of Israel in Genesis 1 through 3. Part of that is, I will curse those who curse you. Again, history has proven that ancient prophecy true. Historically, the graveyard of nations is filled with anti-Semitic nations that dared raise their hand to curse, destroy, and harm Israel, and they face the ultimate penalty from God, as Zola would say, and that would be annihilation. Pharaonic Egypt is gone. Assyria is gone. Babylon is gone. The Grecian Empire, gone because of Antiochus Epiphanes the IV. I got to tell you this. When Alexander the Great was not an anti-Semite, but Antiochus Epiphanes was, obviously, in that the Maccabean Revolt occurred out of that, 164 to 160 BC. But Alexander the Great, making his great conquest from Greece to the steppes of India, took him 12 years to do that. It's never been done before. The young Alexander the Great, who died at 32 and was prophesied in the book of Daniel, when he came to Jerusalem looking to conquer the city, the high priest and his entourage came out to meet Alexander the Great. And they showed this precocious conqueror that he was prophesied in Daniel 8. Alexander was so impressed by the specificity of that prophecy that he spared the city and let them have their autonomy. And the high priest and the Levites made a sacrifice for him in the Holy of Holies. It's in the book of Josephus. Sorry, Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, tells about this in great detail. But the Grecian Empire in its later days after Alexander was destroyed, The Roman Empire, as we know, is no more. The Mamelukes are no more. The Ottomans are no more. Tsarist Russia is no more. The Soviet Union is no more. Nazi Germany is no more. The British Empire at its height in the 19th century is no more. Why? Because all of these nations in one way or another sought to hurt, curse, in the covenantal language of Genesis 12, 1 through 3, sought to curse Israel. I'll never forget, two outreaches ago, we witnessed to a shop owner off of Ben Yehuda Street in Jerusalem. He was very open to the gospel. His name was Eleazar. That's the Hebrew name. In English, that name translates to Lazarus. And we told him about what Messiah did with Lazarus in John 11. Anyway, outside his shop, on the window, he said, it was a sign, and it said, this is what happens to the nations who destroy the Jewish people. And it listed all the nations I just enumerated for you. And woe be America if she ever turns against Israel. I think they will, but I think it will probably be after the rapture of the church, when all the born-again pro-Israel Christians are evacuated out of here. But Iran, as you know, is now... Oh, and I forgot another nation that's been annihilated and cursed for hating and trying to destroy the Jewish people. That would be Saddam Hussein's Iraq. And to underscore the fact that God cursed him for trying to destroy Israel, guess what? He was hung. And what is the scripture saying? Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who hangs for maturity. So come on, guys, it's pretty obvious what's going on here. And Iran is now suffering the effects of God's judgmental curse on them that he promised in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and he's using Israel to do it. He's using Israel to do it. And soon, I believe, the Ayatollah Khomeini will experience the ultimate punishment from God for his insane death calls for Israel, and that will be his death. He will either be bombed into oblivion or he'll be assassinated. So wait for that too. And don't think the state of Israel hasn't tried to get to him, because he is the main instigator. And you know, I hate to say this, and I might get censored from off of YouTube and Facebook, but a big reason, a propellant for this, what's really fueling this irrational hatred, is the religion of Islam and its fundamentalist state. The Quran does call for the death of Jews and Christians who will not bow the knee and convert to Islam. And this hatred for the Jewish people is being fueled by radical fundamentalist Islam. And the irony is, seven times in the Quran, it states God gave the land to the Jews. So how do you factor that in when you want to annihilate them? Aren't you going against your own sacred book? So Israel has done something that they had to do because they feel, in their secular mindset, they feel that Iran is an existential threat to the state of Israel, which, if you factor out the scripture and God, which I'm not doing, you got to approach it from their mindset. They had to do this. Otherwise, once Iran was to develop a nuclear weaponry, they certainly were going to use it against Israel. Now, that's not to say that the judgments described for the day of the Lord, i.e. the tribulation period, I think there is some nuclear exchange going on, because the descriptions of some of the things that are going on certainly mimic the after effects of nuclear warfare. For instance, when Isaiah says concerning the day of the Lord, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men are left. That sounds like nuclear exchange to me. And when Zechariah talks about their tongues being consumed in their mouth and their eyes melting, their eyeballs melting in their eye sockets, that could also be describing the after effects of a nuclear exchange. Come what may, we know that Iran will play a central role in the invasion of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38-39. I talked to Dr. August Rosado, who accompanies me on our Israel outreaches, and we had a brief exchange tonight. And we are certainly agreed on this one point. What's going on right now with Iran is not the Gog-Magog end-time battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39. So any sensationalist of Bible prophecy who's telling you that is wrong, because you have to remember there are so many differences with what Israel did to Iran last night and with what is prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39. First of all, it is Iran, called Persia here, with a coalition of nations, including Turkey, Libya, Ethiopia, and so forth. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 5. None of them were involved in last night's military exchange, preemptive attack by Israel. Secondly, Iran, called Persia, will be involved in invading Israel from the north. That's not what went on last night. It was Israel who flew, I think it's 2,000 miles away or 1,500 miles away from Israel to Iran. They flew whole fleet of military jets to bomb, I think, the four nuclear facilities in Iran. So that doesn't fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39. That will not be fulfilled until this coalition of nations, including Iran, called Persia in Ezekiel 38, occurs. And God will bring them down from the north, and God will, by his own supernatural hand, destroy these invaders, which will include Persia, i.e. Iran. He will destroy them by supernatural fire from heaven. We've seen that supernatural fire before in Scripture, in past judgments of God, starting with Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. Those twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were so thoroughly corrupt with sexual perversion of every kind, including homosexuality, that God overthrew them with fire from heaven, or as the scripture says, with sulfur and brimstone. So Iran is definitely a menace, and they will continue to be a menace. Now, there is hope that once you destroy the top leadership in Iran, as Israel has done, that somehow that's going to bring revolt and democratic reform in Iran. I hate to burst your optimistic bubble. That's not going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're too close to end time events, and we're too close to, and one of them being the Gog-Magog invasion. I think that Iran will continue down this suicidal road of anti-Semitism until it reaches its fever pitch point, when they join the other nations and try to destroy Israel. Some of those nations will involve parts of Russia, Turkey, Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya. That could be Kush and Sudan as well, as encompassing both Ethiopia and Libya. And they are no friends to Israel either, by the way. And so we await for this fulfillment. And I believe it will probably occur at the beginning point of the tribulation period, because it will take 7 years to clean up the mess from this battle. But what is happening right now, let me repeat again, is not the battle, the end time battle of Gog and Magog. The rabbis of the Orthodox bent, who do take the Tanakh seriously, believe that the Gog Magog battle will be an end time battle, because they're reading the text, and Ezekiel says that this will happen in the last days. And they believe that this will be a battle that will occur prior, immediately before the return of the Messiah. Well, the coming of the Messiah. We say return because we believe, of course, the Messiah came a first time. They believe the Messiah will come Some rabbis believe that the Messiah will actually personally intervene from heaven and destroy these invaders. But that's not what Ezekiel 38:39 says. It says that God will rain fire down from heaven to consume these wicked armies that seek to destroy Israel. And when you think about it, when Iran calls for the death of Israel every day, remember who's really speaking behind their venomous mouths. As the church lady said, could it be Satan? Yes, that's exactly who's behind this. I've told Israelis that I've witnessed to when they have wrung their hands in front of me and teared up and asked why the world hates them so much. And they've even said the church, to the church's shame. And I look at them and I say the ultimate reason and person behind anti-Semitism is supernatural, and it comes from Satan himself. Because as Zola has, and I will quote him, when God chooses somebody like Israel, Satan also chooses them. God chooses them to bring blessings. Satan chooses them to try to destroy them, to blunt the plan of God. Now, Satan did try to destroy Israel and the Davidic line, and he did use the Babylonians. However, ironically, the Medo-Persian Empire, Iran, actually blessed Israel when Cyrus, the Persian king, gave the first decree to let the Jewish people return from Babylonian exile to rebuild the city and the temple and resettle the land of Israel that God gave them. Cyrus, the Persian king. Dare I say, if Cyrus were to look on today at what his modern Persians are doing, he would be aghast. He would be shocked and he would be offended. Because remember, roughly 100 years before the birth of Cyrus the Persian monarch, he was prophesied by name in the book of Isaiah. And I have no doubt he was shown this prophecy at some point. And God convinced him of the truth of that prophecy made by Isaiah, that he would befriend the Jewish people and let them return. And that's exactly what he did. I think we have the Cyrus cylinder. I forgot which museum it's in. I want to say the British Museum, but don't quote me. And in that cylinder, there is a decree allowing nations to return to their homeland, and Israel was one of them. And the scripture tells us that. So he would be blushing right now at the anti-Semitic rage and policies of modern-day Persia, Iran, under the wicked satanic Ayatollah Khomeini. British Museum. Yeah, I said that, didn't I? I've seen it, actually. I believe I saw it when I went there years ago. But it is there, the Cyrus cylinder. And Cyrus gave the decree to let the Jewish people return in mass to Israel, a Persian king. And yet today, the rulers of Iran, modern-day Persia, have brought the curse of Genesis 12:3 down on them. When I was setting up tonight, the government of Iran sent a third round of ballistic missiles into Israel. So they've sent missiles. This is the third round of missiles they've sent into Israel. And again, they've signed their own death warrant before the eyes of the God of Israel, who will defend his people. God reserves the right to discipline and punish his people. Mankind does not have the permission or the wherewithal to do that, although God can use other nations to punish Israel as he's done in the past. But that's not a normative license to then go and hunt every Jew down because you don't like it. And worse yet, you think you're doing God's work. So God has entered into unilateral covenants with the people of Israel, the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to defend them when they are attacked. And the reason why Satan has sought to destroy the Jewish people was, number one, before the coming of the Messiah, was number one, destroy the Jewish people entirely, because he knew that through the descendants of Abraham, that the messianic seed would come and bless the nations with salvation. So Satan and the seed, that goes back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15 with the proto-evangelium, the first time the Gospels mentioned in Scripture about the seed of the woman. And then that seed narrows. That descendant from the woman then becomes the descendant of Shem. Then it becomes the descendant or seed of Abraham. Then it becomes the descendant of Melech David, King David. So Satan has been trying to destroy the Jewish people for millennia, even before the existence of the Jewish people. He was trying to destroy mankind to prevent the seed of the woman from coming, the Messiah, and defeating and destroying the devil. So once he heard it was going to be the seed of Abraham, he then sought to destroy the Jewish people. Then when he heard that this seed of Abraham would come through the particular lineage of King David, guess what he tried to do? Destroy the Davidic line. The evil queen Athaliah, came with almost a hair's breadth of destroying all the Davidic lineage. I forgot which king it was. He was hid away in the temple, and she failed in that satanic task, but she was almost successful. Now, why? Because Satan knew that his death knell would come through the seed of David, the Messiah. And so then Satan tried to destroy Israel through the Haggagite, Haman, during the reign of the Persian king Artaxerxes. And the net that he set to destroy the Jewish people was the same net he fell into in the end, right? And then, of course, the Jewish people survived all of the satanic assaults and attacks through his human agencies, the pogroms, the dispersions, the persecutions, and so forth. After the Messiah came and tragically was rejected by his own people, the devil did not stop. Now, what is he doing? This side of the first coming in anticipation of the second coming, the devil is trying to destroy the Jewish people so that God's promises to them will be aborted and his word rendered null and void. I told my mother the other night that Iran and any other nation going forward will not annihilate the Jewish nation for the simple fact that God has given them immutable, eternal, unconditional, covenantal promises that guarantee their eternal preservation. If that were to happen, if the Jewish people were to cease to exist as a nation completely and entirely, then pick this Bible up and throw it into the garbage can, because it's no longer true. And the God of the Bible really doesn't exist. But of course, I speak foolishly. We do know that God exists and that he has protected his people. Oh, they've suffered greatly, and Satan has buffeted them like no other people. Yet God still protects and preserves them. Satan is trying to destroy the Jewish people today to prevent the second coming from happening, to prevent their national redemption the moment they look upon him whom they've pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, in the language of Zechariah. So we know that Satan will not quit. He will continue attempt to destroy the Jewish people, because he's trying to render the promises of God null and void, invalidate the veracity of his word, all made to Israel, among others, and make the kingdom of the Lord Jesus illegitimate. Because if he comes back and the Jewish people have been destroyed, then all those prophecies foretelling their redemption at his return would then be untrue. So you see the connection here? And so modern day Iran, or Persia, if you like, they are another of many satanic tools and agencies seeking to destroy the Jewish people. And unfortunately, they are now beginning to feel the wrath of the God of Israel. This is not going to end well for them. How this factors into the future invasion of Gog and Magog with Iran joining that alliance in the future, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that that animosity will remain until that point in time. And again, God is using the United States to stand with Israel because of the strong Bible-believing Christian presence in this nation. Their policy is one that favors Israel because they know the scripture. They know that the God they believe in, the Messiah they believe in, came from the nation of Israel, came from the Jewish people. And so those who, and when we talk about supporting and loving Israel, that doesn't mean that we idolize them, that we agree with everything they do. No, that's not what we're saying. I've been accused of that, falsely accused of that. We believe their right to exist as God's covenant people. We believe their right to live in the land he gave them, their ancestral homeland. And that God has a plan and purpose for Israel, starting with believing in the Messiah Jesus. Amen. And Israel is currently in unbelief. And they will remain that way by and large until the Lord Jesus returns. And you know, one of the reasons for his return is to save Israel from annihilation at the hands of the Antichrist and his armies that will gather at the Battle of Armageddon, which is actually a series of battles leading up to the final confrontation in Tel Megiddo, the Valley of Armageddon, in northeastern Israel. So again, this anti-Semitic hatred by Iran does set the stage for their hatred in the future that will compel them to join this coalition of nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39 to try to invade Israel, plunder her, and destroy her. And then at that point in time, in the latter days, Yakarit Hayamim, in the latter days, God will then rain supernatural fire down from heaven and destroy these invaders from the north. That will include Iran, here called in Ezekiel 38, Persia, Ezekiel 38:14 through 23. And when God does this, he says, he himself will be magnified and he will be set apart. And the world will know that the God of Israel stands and will defend his people and destroy their enemies who seek their destruction. God says this at the end of Ezekiel 38, verse 23. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And they will indeed know that he is the Lord. And so, but what we're seeing now is something that was going to be done for a long time. In the United States, Trump administration gave Iran 60 days to dismantle their nuclear facilities and come to the table and negotiate a peace, and perhaps enter into the community of international nations. The 60 days went, and on the 61st day, when they were stonewalling and stringing along negotiations Israel struck at them last night. And it wasn't something that caught the United States government by surprise. There was definitely, there definitely was conferring between the Trump administration and Netanyahu's government on this. And they played it brilliantly because it appeared that Trump and Netanyahu's relationship was strained several weeks ago when the U.S. delegation was making a concerted and a legitimate effort to negotiate with the Iranian delegation. There was no strain between the two nations, between Israel and America. They made it look that way in order to show that, give the appearance that America was not anticipating the attack from Israel. But now we know that they did attack them. And the United States government gave their approval and green light after the 60th day. And this is what happened. You know, there's only a point in time you can give somebody so much time to reform, to correct themselves, to come to their senses. And then you have to finally say enough is enough. We've had to do that in here, even today, with those who don't want to repent and believe the gospel and adhere to the historic essentials of the Christian faith. And you argue with them month after month after month, and they simply want to come in here and argue before the service and then do so after the service until finally you say, that's it. You were given space to repent, and you did not, and so I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And that's essentially on a grander scale what American Israel did with Iran. They were given all this time. 10 years or more, at least. And then 8 years out, Israel meticulously gathered their intelligence, went over various attack plans, and finally Operation Rising Lion rose his destructive main last night and took out a significant part of Iran's nuclear infrastructure. Now, did they get it all? We simply don't know yet. They do have some nuclear facilities underground. And one of the criticisms of the anemic Biden administration was that they didn't give them the bunker bombs that blow up bunkers deep within the earth. But last night we learned that indeed Israel has those type of bombs that Trump gave them on his first day in office. And really this, the blame lays at the feet of the Obama and Biden administration. In their naivete, they thought they could give Iran hundreds of billions of dollars. And, well, not hundreds of, I think it was, trying to remember the exact amount, billions of dollars, we'll say, to appease them and not to go after Israel. And what did they do with the money? They armed their terrorist proxies all around the Middle East, starting with Hamas in the Gaza Strip, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, and only God knows where else. But the spigot is now cut off, and they will now face the fierce military destruction and attack of Israel. And behind those attacks, and what I'm going to say right now is politically incorrect, but biblically correct. Behind those attacks is the hand of God's judgment falling upon this Jew-hating, satanic-filled leadership of Iran. So don't lose sleep over whether Israel is going to survive this and get through it. Oh, they're going to get through it all right. Because the God of Israel is protecting them, preserving them, so that finally, when his son, their Messiah, returns, it will be a beautiful reconciliation and redemption. And nothing or no one will get in the way of that. And the last great grasp of an individual who will try to prevent that from happening, Satan will use, will of course be the Antichrist. So we need to pray for those Iranians. It's probably, I would say, 50-50, 50% in Iran support this fanatical regime, while the other 50 want democracy. Masses left Iran during the revolution in 1979. I've met several of them, knew some doctors and social workers and others that I knew at the hospital that were from Iran, and they hate this current regime, and they long to go back, but they can't because they were democracy-loving Persians, and the moment they go back, they sign their death warrant. But we need to pray that God will reach those Iranians that don't agree with what their government are doing, and that perhaps they will have a chance at democracy. Somehow, some way, this evil government will be overthrown. However, that doesn't take away from the fact that Iran will join the coalition of nations that will seek to invade Israel from the north, and they will meet their supernatural end by the fiery judgment of God. So we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem as God commands us to in Scripture, and pray for the Jewish people as they undergo another crisis as a nation and people. But God, pardon the cliche, God has got their back. He will defend them. And at the same time, he will destroy their enemies that seek to destroy him. Because if you remember Jew hatred, ultimately that's the ultimate object of enmity for Jew haters and anti-Semites like the Ayatollah and his regime in Iran is really a deeper hatred for the God of Israel. It's hatred for the God of Israel. And they know they can't damage or hurt God as a being, so what do they do? They do the next thing. They go after God's objects of desire and choosing. And that's what we see going on here. But Israel will prevail. They will be victorious. And this lion that has risen last night to defend and attack against their mortal enemies will result in triumph and victory. Amen. So you want to be on the right side of history. And the only way you can be on the right side of history is by siding with God on many things that his word discusses. And the chief among them, you want to be on the right side with God against your own sin. If you are not on God's side through being born again and saved, then you need to side with God against your sinful and rebellious self. You need to admit that you've broken God's law. And as the rest of Adam's fallen descendants, you are under God's condemnation. But God is not willing that any should perish in that condemnation. He's willing that you come to repentant faith in the one he sent, the only one he sent to save you from such a damnable plight, and that is the Messiah, Jesus. Trust in him, believe in him, and you will be saved from his wrath that currently is over all unbelievers, Romans 1:18, and will be future. And the only way you can escape God's wrath is by accepting his free pardon given through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So come to that place on Calvary where our Lord was crucified to save sinners and receive the payment that he's made to save you, to acquit you, to forgive you, to adopt you into his forever family. And he paid with his very own shed blood. Amen. Well, until next time, shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alekim. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.